The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's live. I had a little bit of an unexpected something that arose yesterday, and we got to do a had to do a rerun. That happens. If you want to give me a call, today is March 4th. It's a Friday, so give me a call, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And if you're a newbie to the show, this is a Christian apologetic show. Apologetics being a branch of Christian theology that deals with the defense and the establishment of the Christian faith. So if that all sounds intriguing, if it sounds wonderful, if you like it, and all of that kind of stuff, you know, all you got to do is give me a call. We have wide open lines, 877-207-2276. Now, as I often do on Fridays more and more because people like it, they say, is I read some hate mail. And for those of you who may not be initiated into my kind of humor, which apparently I do have a good sense of humor, even if I do say so myself, I enjoy hate mail. I don't know what it is about me, but probably something not right mentally, of course. My wife is saying, amen. So I like to do hate mail, and people enjoy it. So I'm going to read some, and I want you to give me a call in the meantime, 877-207-2276, and we can talk, all right? I turn my phone down. I keep forgetting to do that, you know. Let's see. There we go. Okay. Get that right there, because when it's all set up on the... Okay. So check this out. Let's see. Why do you insist that God fit your mold? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have demonstrated that they are not averse to women proclaiming their message to anyone. Now, what this person is responding to is my very biblical and correct view that women are not to be pastors and elders. Now, again, as I say this over the years, I'll say, if you don't believe me, you think I'm wrong biblically, let's do a public debate. Let's use the scriptures. What does the Bible say? And in 17 years of radio doing this 5 days a week, not a single instance have I had anybody say, yeah, let's debate. Let's do a public debate on it. And why is that? Because they know I'll do this mean thing. It's mean. I'll quote scripture and say, what about this? What about that? It says this right here. And they don't like that. So, and look, notice how the person misrepresents me. It says, demonstrated that they are not averse to women proclaiming their message to anyone. I didn't say women can't proclaim their message. That's not the issue. The issue is they can't be women. I mean, they can't be pastors and elders. May God help you see with your own eyes that Jesus never recorded suggesting male dominance. In fact, his practice was to subvert it where he could, as in the cases of the woman at the well sent to the Samaritans, the adulterous woman, Mary of Bethany, and the woman sent to his disciples. Well, this is, I did check. The woman sent me this. And I would love to talk to her. I'd love to talk to her. Her name's Judy, if by any chance you're listening. And, you know, the email was sent a while back, but, you know, you want to listen. And you want to say, yeah, I'll challenge you. Please do. Give me a call. God says, as for me, my way is equal. So what normally happens when people, they talk to me about stuff like this, I like to listen to the verses being ripped out of context. You can hear the sound because they're ripped out of context. They don't apply stuff. In 1 Timothy 3 in the Greek teaches that anyone can desire the office of elder or deacon, as verse 11 summarizes, that all applies to men, equal applies to women. The women likewise. This person... No offense meant, but she could not exegete her way out of a wet paper bag. All right. So let me just reiterate, women are not to be pastors and elders. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the truth. And if you disagree with me, you're wrong. Not because you disagree with me, because that's not, you know, I'm just doing what the Bible says. And if you go to a church with a woman pastor, woman elder, you should leave. You shouldn't be in a church like that. If they can't even get that right, why should you trust them to get anything else right? All right, let's see. Ooh, this is a big one. I'm going to do this. Let me get to the caller here in a second. We have four open lines, 877 2072276. Hi, I'm a fellow Christian. I am soon going to begin a peace revolution against circumstances that are prominent and catastrophic in the world, mainly violence, racism, and social discrimination, or any others I can tackle along this journey of mine. My mission was inspired by God Himself to me many weeks ago, and I haven't put a solid plan together just yet, but basically God anointed me to be His disciple, to learn in life and share the truth with all, for I have much to say and much to even write about. Wow. On a website called, and I won't repeat what it is, I have done a lot of things involving assisting people with their situations and problems and helping them understand God, and who is He that most are unaware about? If you'd like, you can look my account under, and it gives some weird name. I want to take my role outside into the real world. Now, if I want to make an even larger impact among the people, I admit to my being a Bible novice. Yeah, I would say so. Let's see. Religion is indoctrinated corruption against originality of spirituality. Politics is an enactment of lies and deceit and pride. Pretty accurate. Government is an Illuminati enacts murder. Ooh, man. Media denies truth worldwide and all those. Anyway, so you can tell this person, you know, I mean, put it nicely, does not have all his paws in the litter box. So, yeah, his quantum tunneling is not. Let's do one more and we'll get to the callers. Let's see. Jesus is, look at this, confidential. Jesus is not God. All scripture is not inspired by God. The Holy Spirit is God. If you want to know more, contact me. I am the Spirit of Truth sent from God Almighty. Wow. So, you know, when someone, if I was next to someone like that and they you know, said that, you know, the first thing you should do is take a step back, you know, two or three steps back, because you don't want the lightning bolt to get you. You know, you want to be a little on the safe side. You're talking arrogance, denying the truth, and that they are the Spirit of Truth sent from God Almighty. They don't have any paws in the litter box, I'll tell you that. their oil is not viscous. Okay, so there you go. A nice little bit of fun time with the hate mail and a little bit of wacko mail in there, too. Let's get to Mitchell from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mitchell, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got, buddy?
So my question is, why did God require a blood sacrifice?
Because life's in the blood, Acts 17:11, and ultimately the blood sacrifice was pointing ahead to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the blood represented that death and the shedding and the thing that could be sprinkled upon. Because you've got to understand another principle, that when you have an element in a holy place, it is sanctified by an oil or water or blood applied to it, as though that object receives something from something else. So the anointing, as Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit that came upon him at his baptism, which I believe he was sprinkled, that's another topic, according to Levitical law, entering into the priesthood, signifying his anointing. And so the anointing of the blood is also symbolized in the shedding of blood by which our sins are washed away and cleansed away. And so all that points thematically to the point of the death of Christ on the cross. That's why.
Well, that was okay. A really good answer. Actually explained everything that I was had questions about. So that's really all I got.
Okay. No problem. All right, buddy.
All right, thanks, bud. Have a good weekend.
You too. God bless. All right. Comment. Ooh, hey, let's see this. Mary Ellen, Salt Lake City, Utah. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt.
Hi.
I've got some speakerphone, so. Mm-hmm. Well, I just wanted to tell you, I'm going to have to turn off speakerphone. I'm getting feedback.
Okay.
Hold on just a second, okay?
Sure.
Okay. Anyways, I just went to Salem. Yeah. For Carolina for 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I got to meet Stu Epperson and the Christian Car Guy. Mm-hmm. I went up there to meet and to tell them how much I love this show, and I told him how much I love you, Matt, because I'm Christian in the Bible. My pastor is the one that has gotten me to start reading the Bible, and I love it so much. And you've helped me so much. And, I mean, God has just really used you to teach me, also my pastor at the church that I go to. And I just wanted to tell you thank you. And the lady that called in at the beginning of the show, or the letter, I mean, the letter that about women being pastors and preachers and all that. So I used to believe the same way she was. I was born and raised staunch Mormon and left the church when I was 28. I'm now 63.
Wow.
But I used to believe the way she did, and I was very angry, you know, with male chauvinism. Anyways.
Okay.
But you've explained it so well. You've explained it so well, and my pastor has taught me so well through the Bible. So if she just reads more, and she reads from the Bible, and if she would go to church that teaches strictly out of the Bible, then she would understand.
Hopefully.
And again, I don't want to take up any more of your time.
No, it's
all
right.
Guys, and I love Stu Efferson. I didn't even know he was the owner of the radio station, and I met him, and they greeted me at the door. The whole office, I gave him a month's notice that I was coming out. They had a big banner, "Welcome, Mary Ellen." I mean, how beautiful. And they all hugged me, and they gave me a birthday present because it was my birthday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I am so, so very grateful. So thank you for letting God.
You're welcome. Well, let me tell you something about Stu a little bit and the crew. I met them before. And Stu, how do I say this politely, has arranged it that I'm able to be on here, even though he's had offers to have others who could, let's just say, financially help him out even more. And he has...
Oh, said, amen. I believe that.
Yeah, he said, no, you want
to let me add to that. So the reason why I didn't know he was the owner of the radio station is because that's how humble a man this man is.
Oh, he's, yeah,
I mean,
he's
I just
guy.
Couldn't
he
even
is.
Believe it. I didn't know until after I had come back home and had gone to church there in, it's called Fuquay Varina, North Carolina. So I traveled 2 hours from there.
Okay.
And at the church, they're the people that told me that, well, yeah, he owns that radio station. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the owner of the whole network. Oh, yeah.
So that's how humble he is.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He is. And he wants Jesus glorified. And so he's a good man of God. And his goal is to use radio as a means of reaching out. And that's what he's doing.
He is doing it. And, you know, I shared with at least 25 people in North Carolina about this radio station. And
yeah,
I told them about you, the Truth Answer Man. Mm. And I also, I told them about all the shows. I tell everybody, at least 25 people, I told, gave them the radio stations because I looked it up as soon as I got there. So that every, because I'm like, you know what, I used to be like you. So.
There's a break.
Sorry, we got a break. Okay, I love you. Bye. Bye-bye. I love you. Bye.
All right, Mary Ellen. God bless. Well, I didn't mean ever to go, but we do have a break. Hey, folks, four open lines. You want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get on the phones with Anthony from Virginia. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I kind of have two questions for you. The main question I have is about your comments about women serving in the church. But I'm kind of curious, is there a place you go regularly to debate people that's, like, not on your show, where there's kind of, like, an open forum?
Yes, I go to Clubhouse. I go to Discord. I go to Second Life. Those are the main ones right now. Facebook. Of course, the Facebook people, you really can't have many dialogues, so it doesn't work that well. But for live dialogues, I usually go to Discord or Clubhouse.
Discord or Clubhouse?
Yeah.
All right. If I guess if someone that wanted to have a formal debate with you that was publicly broadcasted, would those be the places to go? Or
yeah,
how would you do
ways.
That?
If anybody wants to debate me, just depends on who they are and what the situation is, what they want to do. Formal debates take me a lot of time to prep for, generally speaking. I prefer just to have discussions. But if people want to do that, depending on who it is, I will or will not agree. And a lot of times we get Bob, you know, the mechanic, who says, I'm going to debate you in the Trinity. And I go, you know what the Trinity is? Yeah, three gods. And I'm not debating you. You don't even know what it is, you know. And so I don't just accept every challenge. It's got to be, you know, I have to be able to take it seriously, you know. So, why, you want to debate me?
Okay. Yeah, I do, actually, because I don't agree with very much of anything you say, but
oh, so
I
you're
think
not a Christian,
you... no, I didn't say that. I don't agree
Yeah. If you don't agree with very much of what I say, then that means you also don't agree with very much of the doctrine of the Trinity, the deity of Christ, justification by faith, his physical resurrection, right?
True, yeah. I don't agree with much of that at all.
Yeah, you're a Christian. Okay. So what
I don't agree with that. I don't agree. There's an interpretive framework there you're using called Reformed theology, and I don't think it properly reflects the Christian faith. So.
Oh, I didn't think I was that good looking. I appreciate that, though.
I didn't understand that one, to be honest.
No. My wife, you know, no, she doesn't. She's a good cook. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. What's
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, you mean interpretation's not up for grabs. Oh. See, I was thinking that, you know, if you just think that, you know, the idea of interpreting things is just up to whatever perspective because of this or that, I could do the same thing with whatever you say.
No, I don't. That's not what I see. That's not what I said. I said, I believe your interpretation is incorrect. I don't think people
of
are
what?
Free to make up their own. Of the Christian. Can I first ask you the question about the women in the church? Because I think that's what
sure,
I initially called about.
But do you even believe the Bible is true? Let me ask you, do you believe it's true?
Okay, largely, yes.
Largely? Whoa! So let me get this straight. You want to debate me on stuff about Christianity, and you don't even take the Bible seriously, and you think you're a Christian, and you know how to interpret stuff.
Well, I believe it's trustworthy to... but there are questions about certain aspects of it.
And like what?
Like... Well, again, I can get into that, but I wanted to
you
quickly...
You brought it up! Like what? I'm sure everybody wants to hear this who's listening. So tell me, what is not trustworthy in the Scriptures?
Well, they are written... Unfortunately, they're written by men, so...
Oh, genetic fallacy. So if it was written by men, it's not going to be accurate? Okay. Would it be accurate if it was written by women?
Well, it was written by human beings, is the point. So we have to...
You said men, so you're backtracking. So written by humans. Okay, so there's no such thing as inspiration then, right?
There is, but it can't be assumed. So we have
Wait. The Bible says it's written by inspiration. Do you agree or disagree with what the Bible says about itself?
Again, unfortunately, there's no way to verify that. So
do you agree or disagree with what the Bible says about itself? Just curious.
Where does it say, where does the Bible claim its own self-inspiration?
Okay, so all scriptures inspired of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. So Jesus authenticated the Old Testament documents as being scripture, and Peter certainly authenticated Paul's writings of scripture. The early church recognized the New Testament, 27 books of scripture. So, are they inspired?
There is inspiration in the Bible.
Inspiration. Give me an instance of something that's inspired in the Bible from God, right? Give me something.
Like when the prophets speak the words of God, that would be inspired. But
okay.
Maybe some of the more narrative aspects of it
are not inspired.
We have to.
Okay. So when Paul was speaking, giving instruction to the church. In the book of Timothy, is that inspired or not inspired?
Probably not.
Probably
in my opinion.
Not. Okay. So, is Jesus God in flesh?
That's also a good question.
Is he God in flesh?
I can't say
yes or no.
I think I fall on the side that he's not the same entity as God.
I'm informing you. I'm not mad at you. I'm not name calling, but you are absolutely not a Christian. You do not have the Spirit of God in you. You are not enlightened. You are under demonic influence, and you don't know how to exegete Scripture. And you want to argue with me and debate with me on women's roles in the church if I use Scripture and you don't even believe in and trust in it, and you're an unbeliever to begin with? I'm sorry. I can't take you seriously.
Even if you do accept a literalist interpretation of Scripture, it does seem to indicate that women can serve as pastoral roles in the church.
Okay. So you have no idea what you're talking about. Okay. Just informing you. All right? So you don't even know who Jesus is. And if you want to pretend to yourself that you know who Christ is and what is and is not inspired, then you are simply deceiving yourself. You do not have the Spirit of God in you, and unfortunately, if you were to die right now, you'd go to hell. And I don't want that for you. You've not trusted in Christ.
Okay,
I think
the same thing about you, but I'm not going to go into that.
I'm just telling you, Jesus says, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins, John 8:24. You don't believe he's the I am.
Yep.
Hey, you don't believe that. So, you're damned.
Okay,
believe he rose from
again,
the dead?
Again, that's a very cryptic statement that is very difficult to interpret.
Oh, cryptic. So if it doesn't agree with your theology, now it's cryptic.
No, I'm just saying that it's difficult to interpret that in a literalistic manner. It's hard to know exactly what Jesus is saying.
Well,
I'm very familiar with all these.
You don't even believe the Bible. So, you know, you're like an atheist. It's like talking to an atheist. Okay, where truth is relative and it's subjective based on your preferences.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying there is only one correct interpretation of the Bible. But determining it is not straightforward because some of the verses in the Bible are difficult to understand and know exactly what they're saying.
Okay, so you're not even saved. Look, your first priority is to become a Christian, a real Christian, not a fake one. You are that, and you're under a state of judgment right now. And you need to repent from the faith in Christ. I'm just warning you. That's all. Informing you. Pastorally. We got to go. There's the break. And we have 4 open lines. You want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live. Taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Bottom of the hour. Let's get on the phone here with Jim from North Carolina. Jim, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Having the opportunity to speak with you tonight.
Oh, buddy.
And so on Sunday school, I've got a lesson I'm starting up on 1 Thessalonians.
Okay.
And I'm reading 1:10, and it says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus who rescues us from the coming wrath."
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to Revelations 3:10, where it says, "Because you have kept my command to endure, I will also keep you from the hour of testing that is going to come on the whole world to test those who live on the earth."
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know that you're really more, I guess, what, like a post-millennialism person. I've listened to you long enough. You've taught me into it.
No, I'm all millennial.
But,
yeah.
But just wanted to kind of reconcile this. And that way, if the question comes up in Sunday school on Sunday, that I'm not caught flat-handed.
Okay.
And by the way, too, a lot of times you go into this scripture, you make a bunch of scriptural references supporting your view, which is good, but go slow because I'm going to try to write down as you go.
All right, sounds good. Here's the number one key. When you want to understand something you think has a contradiction or, you know, isn't quite clear, number one, you pray, always ask for guidance, a spiritual issue. But after that, what you have to do is define your terms. Always define your terms. So let me give you an illustration. You see, and I used this illustration last night in a Bible study. See, the fact is that, you know, my scalpel, my doctrinal scalpel, is very sharp. The reason it's sharp is because for years I've been sharpening against that rock, the rock of Christ and His truth and His Word. And because of it, I'm able to go in, I think, pretty well, and I'm sure I got some things wrong, but I'm not perfect, but go in and divide truth from error. You can clearly just delineate things and mark this out and get rid of the stuff that's bad and the filth and the stunk, this stuff. So always define your terms, because that's where you sharpen your tools. So what does the word wrath mean here in 1 Thessalonians 1:10? Don't assume anything when you come to the text, except for things like Jesus is God and He rose from the dead, of course. But people commonly make a mistake, think that the word wrath there means, like, for example, tribulation, the seven-year tribulation period. And it doesn't. Nothing in the text says tribulation period. And when you go to Revelation 3:10, you've kept my word, and talking to the Church of Philadelphia, which I've been there historically, the historical location, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. And the word here to test, you look at that, if that's what you're asking about, is parazo. And it means to test by trial. It does not mean that that it's the wrath of tribulation, nor does it mean it's the wrath of judgment to damnation. Because the Bible says, for example, God has destined us for not for wrath, but salvation. 1 Thessalonians 2:8, I believe it is. And if that's the case, let me see, make sure I didn't know that. No, that's not it. 2:9? Oh, I got to find it. I always like to get these things right. Destined to us for wrath. Destined to us. Where is that? There we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For here's an example of something. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation. People will use this verse to say we're not going to go through the tribulation, but it has nothing to do with the tribulation. The word wrath is juxtaposed with the word salvation. So therefore, it's the opposite of salvation. Not this, but that. Not good, but, or not bad, but good. And so you know what the word wrath means in that context. And 1 Thessalonians 5:9 deals with damnation. When we're talking about the issue of 1 Thessalonians 1:10, and he's talking about this issue of wrath, wow, how did that happen? All these things come up. Wow, that's interesting. Okay, there we go. Who rescues us from the wrath to come. That's dealing with the issue of damnation. So it is not related at all to Revelation 3:10, because that's about a tribulation to come, not about the eternal judgment of the wrath. Okay.
Okay, so it's not the same. It's not the same. The testing in 3:10, Revelation 3:10, is not the same as the wrath in 1:10. Right. And I'm going to 5:9 now. Thank you for that. And I do see that actually makes then the correlation much more understandable. So thank you for bringing that to my attention.
So here's the thing.
That will give me, I think, pretty much what I need. So,
good. So let me reiterate, don't assume. You know, I don't know what your position is, but you've heard me probably talk about two men are in the field, one is taken, one is left, right? You've heard me talk about that, right?
In Matthew, yes. Yeah.
And Luke 17. Yeah, and that's, you know, people say that's the rapture. Well, it's not. You read the context, and it's not. But when people just assume it is, and then they don't do any thinking or examination, then they have all kinds of problems, because they're just assuming things. And I tell people, don't assume. Check it out. Read the context. Does the one word in one verse and another word in another verse, are they similar in their meaning of the context? That's the issue.
And I wouldn't have a clue about the Greek, so if the same type of word used in the context where it is, I wouldn't know how to understand the difference from one Greek to the other, and so I couldn't come close.
I'll tell you what, you don't need to know a whole bunch, but if you go to blueletterbible.org, what you can
I've been there.
Yeah, and you can just go there and you can type in like 1 Thessalonians, let's see, I'm going to do it right now, 1:10, okay? And there it is, and then next to it it says tools on the left-hand side, and now I'm scrolling down to the word from the wrath, and it's orgēs, right there. And then I put my mouse over G3709, I'm doing this right now, and then it comes up and it says, it gives you different references. Anger, the natural disposition, temper, character, movement or agitation of the soul, wrath, anger, indignation. So that's just one of the ways to find out. And so you look, and you say, oh, down further, a Strong's Concordance to team, denoting an internal motion, especially that of plants and fruits. Well, what's that got to do with anything? And you read, that's how it's used in one particular area of a Greek manuscript, that's not biblical. So they look, well, how does it, is it used in different places? And they find these things out. And this is how you learn. It's easy. It's easy. You could get two tabs, and you can go to one verse with one tab and another verse with the other tab, and then look at the words, and then you can do a search. Like for the word orge, which is 3709. I don't have to do it in here. Let's see, verse or word. Let's see, 3709. Let's see what happens if I just type that in up there. Yeah, and so then, yeah, orgē, and it just, and then it, there it is. And so now the word, now I just found out where it occurs in other things by using the Blue Letter Bible. So now you can say, oh, the word occurs here, 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 here. Oh, and then you can get a fuller understanding of the words. That's how you study. And when you do
so
that,
what I'm kind of gathering here then, it, the wrath here is speaking of those that are not saved. But and so they are going to have the wrath that the Christians won't have. It has. It may not necessarily be anything relating to the tribulation. It may have to do with the final judgment and where you end up as being the wrath of the unsaved, of which the saved will not have.
Yeah. Well, look what it says in 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come. He rescues us from the wrath. That's damnation. Pre-trib thing just flow in your head as though it's true. Don't assume it is. And when you check everything out, you'll find, oh, hey, a lot of stuff clears up. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you also, too. I called a few earlier in the week about the reset and everything. Mm-hmm. And you offered to dial in on Tuesday night. I felt like it was like that game show where you dial a friend to get the answer.
Yeah.
But and I told the guys, but we, you know, it wasn't the time to call you, ask you to dial in. But I appreciated the offer very much. The guys did too. They were like cool. Maybe in the future, you never know.
Oh yeah, people have done that, and then usually there's plenty to talk about afterwards. As the leaders clean up the mess and do counseling. So, yeah, it gives you a lot to do. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
All right, man.
Well, if you've got other callers, take them. I'll be happy to carry you to the next commercial break.
Well, we got four callers waiting, so if you want, you can call back. Maybe we get to through all of them in the next break.
Oh, okay, rock and roll, man. Take care of yourself.
All right,
thank
buddy. God bless you. All right. And there's the music. And then we're going to get back with, Emery from Charlotte. By Shepherd. Okay, we'll see what he has to say. May the Lord bless you. Be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everyone. Last segment of the hour on this nice Friday. Let's get to Emery from Charlotte, North Carolina. Emery, welcome. You are on the air.
How are you doing there today?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. What do you got, ma'am?
I got a question. I've got what book is in, but it says other C5s have a, that's not this fold, I'm going to bring them.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you. I can't understand you, I'm sorry. You're going to have to speak.
He says he has one flock. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, if you could just speak a little bit more slowly so I can understand you. What's your question?
Yeah, Sparkson got me. Yeah, he says other sheep that I have are not of this fold, and he said I must bring them to hear my voice, mm-hmm. and it'd be one shepherd and one flock.
Yes. The other sheep, this is out of John 10:16, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. That's the Gentiles.
Is that what that is?
I'm sorry?
Is that what that is, the Gentiles?
Yeah, because he was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he says, my sheep hear my voice. Now, lost sheep of the house of Israel is Matthew 15:24. He says, my sheep hear my voice, John 10:27-28. So we know that all of us who are saved are, in that sense, his sheep. So when he says other sheep, which are not of this fold, he's talking metaphorically, Israel is the one fold, the Gentiles are the others. Okay?
Yeah, that's right. I thought it was something from outer space or something.
I'm sorry, I can't understand you, brother. All right.
I thought it was something from outer space.
Okay, I'm still not able. You got to understand, I have a hearing loss, okay? I wear hearing aids, and, you know, I'm 65, so I blew my ears out when I was young doing stupid stuff. And so,
yeah, I understand.
Sorry about that.
I appreciate it.
Okay, well, thanks. Hope that helped. All right. All right, let's get to Ron from Utah. Ron, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right, man. Doing all right. Hanging in. What do you got, buddy?
Okay, question on the heliocentric model of the cosmos.
Okay.
I was wondering how you reconcile heliocentrism with the creation account, Genesis 1 through verses 1 through 13.
Let me ask you, I'm going to answer it, but do you affirm heliocentricity?
No.
Okay.
I used to.
Okay. Yeah, it's just obviously it's not true, and nothing in the early chapters of Genesis requires heliocentricity. It just doesn't require it. And if you were to read from the perspective of someone on Earth, as you go to Genesis 1, what you find is just a perspective of a human seeing and looking and learning. And the sun rises, as the Bible says. Well, that must mean that the earth is a center and the sun is smaller and far away, right? No. The Bible doesn't necessitate heliocentricity at all. It just doesn't.
But you do believe in a heliocentric model, correct?
No.
Oh, you do not?
Oh, wait. Okay, wait. Okay. You know what? I just got my wires crossed. And I don't know what I was thinking. I was thinking of geocentricity, not helio.
Okay.
Because of somebody, yeah, it's just, I got my wires crossed. Let me back up. Heliocentricity, the sun being the center. Yes, of course I affirm that. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay, so now in that context of Genesis 1, 1 through 13, mm-hmm. how can you have a heliocentric model?
By just assuming it's true, and nothing in the scripture negates it. What's the problem?
Well, you have evening and morning, days 1, 2, and 3,
yeah.
before the sun is created on day 4.
Yeah. So what's the problem with that?
So there's no sun. Evening and morning are not caused by rotation.
And how do you know that? How do you know
say that? Again?
How do you know it's not caused by rotation? How do you also know that it isn't God providing the light? How do you also know that from the human perspective that the creation of the sun is the manifestation of its visible occurrence? Okay.
No, I agree. There is light. God created light on day one. But there's no sun that causes the light. And the earth, until day three, the earth is submerged in massive, unspeakable tons of water.
Okay.
So there's no sun. There's evening and morning.
Yeah.
And then finally, the sun is created on day 4. And its purpose is to give light upon the earth. So if you read that, and you didn't know anything about NASA, you'd never seen a space launch, you never see the moon landing, never saw images from NASA.
Uh-huh.
How could you read that? How could you read that text and say, oh, the earth is revolving around the sun.
I don't think that they normally would. I think they would probably assume a geocentricity.
Okay. All right. I agree with that. So are you saying then that NASA influences our thinking on the nature of the cosmos?
Of course it does.
Would you say that most Christians read the scripture, the creation account, through the prism of NASA's revelation?
I don't know what most Christians would do. So I can't answer that.
Okay, okay. But you just admitted, though, that if someone read it and you didn't know about NASA, they would assume geocentrism.
No, I said I could see why they would. I didn't say they would.
Okay, why wouldn't they?
I don't know. I have to ask individuals. So are you a Christian
why wouldn't
or not?
You?
Or what? Are you a Christian or not?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Do you believe in the doctrine of the Trinity?
Absolutely. I'm a pastor. We worked together. You came out and worked with us in 2016.
Where?
You did a presentation at Weber State on Islam.
Oh, down there in Utah.
Yeah. Yeah.
We had guards and everything. Okay, okay.
I came to this perspective in April. And
what perspective?
Wow. I mean, it radically changed my view of creation.
Okay, well, what perspective?
Well, the literal interpretation of Scripture as it relates to the creation. I didn't realize it,
okay,
but
well,
I was reading
on, okay,
the text.
I got you. So you say,
yeah.
Okay, so you believe, in, or are you saying you believe in geocentricity?
Yes.
Okay. Could it be logically that God created the earth and it was formless, it was void, he then made the heavens and the earth, or he, you know, he did his stuff, he light, separation of the waters and below the dry land, and it was just out there in space. And then he created the sun and set the moon, or set the earth around it. Is that possible?
Show me from the scriptures and I'll agree with it.
I didn't ask if it was.
But if you read the scriptures.
Hold on a sec. I just asked.
Okay.
Is that possible?
Okay,
that's the question I asked. Is it possible?
I would. Well, is it possible? And the strict answer would be yes, it is.
Okay, so it's possible. So you're negating it. You have to negate it from Scripture. Now you got to understand something too, that day one and day four are related, and day two and five are related, and day three and day six are related. On day one there's light. On day four there's the sun. On day two, there's separation of waters from above and below. And on day five, there's water creatures. And day three, there's dry land, seas, and plants. On day six, there's cattle and creeping things. So one, two, three
sure.
is parallel with four, five, six. It's called the framework hypothesis, which suggests that something else is going on inside of the text.
Okay. Well... I understand the hypothesis.
Have you thought
of
that?
But if you take a literal interpretation of the six-day creation, which I do, I assume you do as well. Is that correct?
More or less, yes.
More or less. Okay, so the reality is the sun was not in existence until day four.
How do you know?
Because God said it. God
says he created it. So here's something to think about.
Yeah,
all right.
On day four.
Yeah. Yeah, and so
yeah.
Here's something you know to think about is that I'm looking for the first reference that he created light, and then the sun is on day four, and that's in Genesis 1:14. So let me take a look. Okay, I want to check something out. Okay, God said, "Let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day of the night, and let them be for signs." Okay, so it just says lights. So it says lights, and you're saying that each light must mean correspond to the sun and the moon. Okay, I think that's reasonable. Now here's a perspective, because this is what happened to me. Not that what I'm saying is my experience means anything. I'm almost out of time here. I got to hustle. I didn't realize what time it was. Is that I read the Bible when I was young, or started to read the Bible, and I threw it away because of the first two to three chapters of Genesis. Because I said, I was an evolutionist at the time. I said, look, it doesn't work. You don't have the sun first and all this stuff. I was reading a scientific article, and a guy hypothesized, what would you see from the perspective of Earth if the earth was forming and technically like that, what would you see? Well, first you'd see light, the separation of the waters. He didn't reference the Bible, but he was describing the exact same order. You see the dry land, and then the photosynthesis with the of the sun-like cosmic rays that gave the formula would cause the atmosphere to clear up, and then you'd see the sun. And I was stunned.
Yeah.
Because I thought, this is exactly what the scriptures are teaching. And so I over the years I thought about that and wondered, because it is from the perspective of a person walking on the earth. And from that perspective, you would see it looks like God is creating things. And so
Let me interject something. I would disagree with you. It's because it's from the perspective of God who is creating. And there's no one, I mean, no man has ever looked up and seen these waters in the heavens or a light without the sun. So
yeah,
I would disagree with your premise.
Yeah. Well, I understand, but but God knows, and He does things from our perspective all the time. And in Genesis 3, He's walking with Adam and Eve in the garden from a human perspective. We're seeing this. I don't want to just negate it. So if you're going to go with geocentricity, are you then saying also that the entire universe is revolving around the earth?
Yes, but it's in the dome of the firmament.
Are you a flat earther? You hold to a flat earth?
No, I'm a biblical cosmologist.
Okay, that's just ambiguous. So you do not affirm?
I do believe in the flat earth. Yes.
You do believe in a flat earth?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
It doesn't make any. Yeah, flat earth doesn't work. You need to call back Monday,
okay,
and I will show you why it doesn't work and why it's just
okay,
not.
Okay, I'll call back.
All right, you call back because we're out of time. But here's something to think about. Why is it that you cannot see the sun at night if it's the sun is embedded in the dome or suspended just underneath it in a flat earth model?
Well, I could answer that. We don't have the time, but my foundation is what saith the scripture.
Well, the scripture says the earth is square with four corners. Do you believe that?
Where does it say square? Show me that verse.
It says four corners. Okay, rectangular or square? Has four corners. Do you affirm four corners?
Yes.
Okay, so it also says the circle of the earth. Do you affirm the circle of the earth? Do you affirm that?
Yes, the earth is a circle.
It also have corners? I just think you're inconsistent. Call back Monday when we have more time.
All right.
All right. Oh, flat earthers. Okay. Hey, folks, I hope you have a great weekend. Sorry, Roger from North Carolina and Thomas from Kentucky. Oh, comment on local election. Call back Monday, you guys. We'll talk. All right. God bless. May the Lord bless you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Talk to you later.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.